From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. And in this part of the program, we have a new work of fiction. It begins in a bar, the last place open in a shopping mall on Christmas Eve. Here is the story of Fool for Christmas, and its author, Alan Gurganis.
Merry, merry back at you, stranger. Name's Vernon Ricketts. Welcome to my mall. Me, I manage our Fur, Fin, and Fun franchise, second busiest pet store in the state. Finally, we're closed for Christmas Eve, so while each pup sold goes speeding home toward sleeping kids, Mr. Manager has swung in here for a big old festive drink. You come in off the interstate, what with all this sleet? Well, you found our county's one place open, 3 a.m. Kirsten runs this bar. There she is. Yo, Kirstea, looking fine in that red and ermine mini. How those twins? Need two of your famous eggnogs for me and my new pal here. Besides, I'm just a fool for Christmas. And tonight's more than the start of a whole day off for me. It's my anniversary. Yeah, this same second be a year ago, at my exceptional shop through that security screen, I did something. Still don't know how nor why a certain person trusted me to help with it. Got us into the Charlotte paper, but forget good store publicity. Best darn thing ever grabbed Vernon here. Finest gift a woman ever give me. Right here at Christmas, too. First time I seen the girl that changed me so majorly, poor thing was already being hounded. We got a no vagrant policy here. Never was enforced till Vanderlip stepped in as mall manager. Then he was all over the drifters, skateboarders, even rich old men nodding off while wives try on every shoe in the store. Vanderlip caught a retired couple pocketing three for a buck, canned tuna at Dollar General, took him into his back room he's labeled deprogramming. 30 minutes later, old guy comes out of there on a stretcher. Heart attack. A small merchant's first nickname, Vanderlip, the Enforcer. By now, he's Terminator. Like me, he came up hard, but he acts extra proud of his climb to management, even of a mall with just three fountains and no restoration hardware. Around 40, but my guess is he's always acted 60, born taking names. Walks in short steps, so he seems busy, busy. He's really just marching in place. Never without the tie, it's not big as a thermos. And since 9/11, two lapel pins, the American flag and a white enameled cross. Wears them like his personal ID pass. Across our mall's front, he hung season's greeting banners, all four sides, spelled Hanukkah wrong. Some say on purpose. Yeah, the girl that rocked me so had just been seen on the mall, and Terminator Vanderlip spotted her first. Oh, she tried blending in with other gals that age. She'd settle with her back to our mall stars on the popular bench, fountain side. That young girls are always dabbing makeup on each other or taking cell phone snaps of their new navel rings, sending those to lucky boys out in the county. But this new girl wore an old sailor's peacoat, sizes too big, had limp brown hair all in her face, barrettes to push it more toward being an awning that had let her hide in plain sight. I guess she was not really pretty, but tiny. You know how at 1 hour photo along with snaps of your smiling friends and scenery in focus, there'll be a mess up shot, say sky with some jet trail and two flying birds or even your own knee against the red steering wheel. What's odd, with all your good pictures, you can stare longest at the one gone wrong. You think, I could be a photographer. Like that she was. Off to the side, a throwaway, but nifty, near about by accident. Right off, I noticed she was clever. Never settling one place long, always chatting into her cell, turned in odd directions, hunting privacy. And Terminator was right there behind the palm tree, talking into his wristwatch. Mostly, she'd fetch up here the rainy, coldest days, saving back our shelter when she needed it most. Never really set foot into my shop, but like everybody, she'd sort of grin at our bay windows full of wriggling pups and red bows. I willed her to visit us. I thought, yonder's somebody's daughter. And I imagined her as mine, then shuddered, felt more scared for her after that. 2 weeks before Christmas, I see something I'm not supposed to. She steps to the ladies, leaves her cell phone on a fountainside oak bench. Well, I figure here's my chance to be a hero. So Vernon rushes out to save the cell she's been chatting into constant, especially when Terminator's staring. But hers, it's just a toy for kids from Dollar General. Black block of wood, cheap decal sticky on front, so lightweight I all but dropped it as I set it down real quick, run off. That girl could work our international food court. I seen her make a meal out of dispenser ketchup, leftover croutons, hot water, garnished with lemon wedges. From some bin, she'd lift a large soda cup, drink classic Coke all day. Saw her stash that cup high on a ledge so Vanderlip's busy cleanup crew wouldn't leave her parched. Jacket hikes up and under. She's like 10 months pregnant. Just Vernon's luck. Me, I run animal rescue, even with new animals, even on blind dates, which my dates mostly are. I guess they don't like it when you're real kind to them. I try sounding mean, but look at me. They know. Can't help it. Nobody's perfect. I do pretty good for a GED-type person. Got me the vintage Camaro 67 SS383, stroke 4-speed, cherry red. My condo's half paid off. Plus, I've seen everything at Blockbuster twice. I'm not just Tarantino, neither. I don't know why I'm not a catch. Christmas week closing in, we get us a bad storm. Driving to work, I think, good, she'll be there today. Shows up around noon. I see orange muds caked knee-high on her jeans. So I carry out a blonde cocker pup, red bow on it, of course. Hold it down to where she slumps beside a Ann Taylor bag, fooling nobody, all while Vanderlip stands describing her into a walkie-talkie more real than the poor kid's cell. I go, "Hi, I'm Vernon. You mind picking up a little change for holding the cutest dog in, like, the whole mall? I'm looking to demonstrate her. When folks stops to pat Butterbean here, meet Butterbean. You refer said customers to that shop yonder." She finally whispers, but right to our pup's brown eyes, "This one is such a young one, ain't it?" She holds that licking pup so close it's hid under her bangs. I can tell she's crying. Then I say, "Look, I'm going to laugh because security is like so on to you. I'm about to make like you're funny and we're friends." I do then, you know, chuckle. But under my breath, like I'm telling her, I know her cell phone is a block of wood. No, she's crying because this is a baby dog and she's toting another baby all over creation and my mall. I add as how I'd like to help if I can, especially seeing as it's the holidays and all. I say, if she does carry Butterbean clear from the pennies to our Dillard's Inn couple three times, expect to meet me at Chungking Express round one for her free demonstrator lunch, okay? I warn her. I say, "Don't you cry now. You get me started, there's no stopping it. Some say I'm a fool for Christmas. Some say just fool. But don't be fretting so bad. Vernon knows your story now." Well, at the food court over fried dumplings and butterbean, I'm asking what I usually ask my dates, who her kid's real father is. Holding the pup between us, the girl speaks extra soft. I tilt nearer. She goes, "He's just started his first tour in that new war of theirs. He's in Bravo Company. They got him carrying his gun through a clay city, clearing one apartment at a time. His division's still waiting on their body armor. I made him make up something for himself, so him and his pals found an old washing machine this tank had run over, got some guy with a torch to cut its sides off, shaped him around his ribs. I slept better after. He swears he won't get killed. I just didn't want Warren to get blowed up like all them others and not have nothing left to show for being on Earth and all. He can play three instruments and talk about can sing. When he gets through his third tour, he's going to produce CDs that are half rap, half country. It's new. He'll be the biggest thing in music since the King. Having Warren's kid was my idea. I stuck one of my barrette wires through all our protection. Daddy told me to ever get in the family way not to bother coming home. So I left before I showed any. Warren gave me $500. I still got most of it. This Chinese, I would say, is excellent. I ask her where she lives, but she speaks real cold to her fortune cookie. North of here, why? I thought, yeah, due north of our parking lot, probably. 12 days till Christmas, she finally slips into my shop. Before I even see the girl, comes this hush. See, my animals don't often react to a customer one way or the other. Maybe her being pregnant struck them, or her quiet way of taking not a thing for granted. Even two full-grown Maine Coon cats shifted forward in their cages. My all-time smartest African gray parrot said in a Vernon-like voice that cracks up our beauticians next door, "Ew, who did that to your hair?" Well, she laughed like a kid then. Under bangs, I saw her teeth. Part of one great eye. Brown. Soon I had her helping my trusted assistant manager, LaTanya, do preliminary grooming. I left the big labs and shepherds for our sturdy after-school boys. During one of her many bathroom trips, I'd flip through her wallet scouting for some family phone number, but she'd smartly marked it off everything, that determined to do all this alone. She was down to 80-some dollars, mostly ones and fives. Downpours, high wind, sleet, 4 days till Christmas, she goes missing. Of course, I worry. Already, I'm picturing this girl dead in a ditch beside her poor black-headed baby. Used to, I'd go crazy waiting for my mom and grandma to get home from the box factory. I had LaTanya doing checks 3 times daily, all women's rooms, mall-wide. So that night, I aimed my Camaro toward our lot's far corner, north. Leave my brights on, whip out my flashlight, go squishing through the mud toward these huge walk-in concrete pipes for the new target going in next door. Construction stuff set among 6 sassafras and sweet gum trees, all that's left of American forest hereabouts. The sky, from low clouds and strip mall signs, was rust to blood red. My breath showed. Muzak carols drifted clear out here, but funny, my mall from this back dumpster angle looked almost ugly tonight. In front of one pipe, scrap plywood laid just so, brick circling a cold fire. Inside, my flashlight finds garbage bags full of leaves for bedding, and hooked to one wall a little round hand mirror, and hanging on it, I see an old Smurf doll with all one girl's colored barrettes clipped into its wild orange hair. That tore me up. I don't know. People are so brave. Well, I hear a body puddle hop in the dark nearby, and Vernon jumps like from a horror movie, but calling to her, crying almost, and here stands Vanderlip. Strange to find him in his suit out this far. Last sunset flashed his lapel pins red, with all the rest of him left dark. He's like, "So, Vernon, come out here after work, do you? Get a little steam off? Girl like that, living like a rat in a hole, and you standing in front of her pipe. That's it, isn't it?" Defending her, I know I'm going to say what I've never dared say to him or anybody. I go, "I might could shock you, Mr. Vanderlip, with your praying into our loudspeaker morning, noon, and night, but there's still some good people left on earth. There's more sin in your mind than out here at the edge where most folks just try and live. And she's one of the good ones. She's your daughter Tammy's age and no worse. You invent an enemy a day. That's your caffeine that wakes you up. They ain't enemies at first, but they start being when you do them like that. Her boyfriend's serving in this extra Gulf War, sir. And I ain't ever been out here before. How'd you even know about her camp?" He says, "Security recognizance. She's building off-site fires. Why? What'd you do with her body, Vernon? You're just the type. I know you've been slipping her the odd tenner. I have my sources. Funny, when I started this job, you struck me as a real retail leader, Vern. You knew to mix up breeds of pups, Great Danes and Chihuahuas wearing red bows in one window. Could pull you 30 customers like that. Sure, you need to drop 150 pounds, but that done, you might could have a future. Instead, you got half the high school working for you where one qualified adult will do. You overpay him out of your own pocket, and now you've put that little skank on payroll right at Christmas. God knows who else she's bringing back here for pocket change." So, was Christmas Eve day when I see the Terminator security boy surround somebody at the Grand Concourse fountain. LaTanya alerts me. It her. She looked real shook, too. I rush out there, tell him she's my niece. I'll handle this. Good thing Vanderlip's off chasing Dillard's formal wear shoplifters into a day at the beach tanning. She says, I hitched halfway home, but they're too churchy to take in no bad girl like me. Hurting some. She looks right at me, shocked. And then I see her jeans are soaked clear through. The waters had broke. If I knew little, she knew less. I say, we need a hospital. This is beyond me. Glad as I am, you're home. And she puts both her hands around mine, says louder than ever, got no insurance. My folks has probably told the police I'm missing. Be a world of trouble if I go in. Besides, I don't want for this to be among strangers, Vern. Please, I come clear back to you for this. Please, I'm strong. When somebody's chosen you, however much you might want 911, you know, you're chose. So while Vanderlip's scaring naked folks in tanning booths, LaTanya and me get her into our storeroom. First thing, I run to my internet connection, typed in keywords, baby, human, delivery of. Kept the printout folded in my back pocket all day. Things was crazy busy being Christmas Eve and all. We do 43.2% of our business after Thanksgiving. Vanderlip's rushing everywhere, grilling everybody about where she'd gone, never knowing we've locked her safe back with us. So, yeah, was right at a year ago tonight, about this exact same sack, I moved my Camaro clear to the Hardy's lot, then hiked back, huffing. If Vanderlip seen my 67 Cherry Red nearby, he'd have barged in here with cops and social services, his preacher probably. For once, I locked my store from the inside, turned out all the lights but the aquariums. Now, the sounds of a pet shop is easier to notice in the dark. Fish tanks bubbling becomes like ticking clocks, a sweet background. Lights off, you can even hear our reptiles move their sand. Round one, her and me could hear the mall's great outside metal doors slam shut, then echo everywhere, like at a castle. My girl kept trying not to scream. I told her, just us chickens, don't hold back. Well, she flat lets rip then. Shrieks echo across a sleepy mall into each storefront, and somehow the place will feel forever more alive for that, for me. She screamed and waves rose, and I called out into the heat from her breath and body, a little stove. And I found a way to coach her. We're getting there. You can. You can. You are, girl. I guess I might call this the most test and flattering thing that's ever once been asked of me. To be trusted. And on Christmas Eve. Then it got so sudden, and even the top of the head looked like a human head, because it was. It was one. Somehow it got out whole. We got it out. Amazing that she'd hung around my mall and drew me forward, found me. I cut the cord with my highest-end dog nail clippers, but brand new and sterilized. Amazing that when the time was ripe, she hitched clear back to me, and I could get down there and pull and coax and catch it, then hold it up like some reptile pet and slap into it the air that made it be a human. By the end, she says, small voice, but meaning it, this here's the first real thing I ever done, and you is with me every step, Vern. Well, it was a male one. I mean, it was a boy. Oh, he was a pretty little thing. Black hair spread out like damp feathers, but of course I would call him pretty. I would, as the whatever, as her substitute, the pet store manager. Then I did something foolish but was great. I let out all the puppies and kittens, the ones that had not been sold, and it did not take them long to drift back here to find where all this new mewing was coming from. It was Christmas Eve. lit by saltwater tanks, behind the staff lounge of my dark beloved pet store, in a mall locked up tight from the outside in. The baby dogs and cats could smell her built-up milk, hoping it had fountained out real first mother's milk, and the excitement of her scent and the blood and this slick new little life, it made them crazy with a kind of joy and jumpiness I've never seen in all my years of retail here. Well, you know, I couldn't keep her living in my storeroom forever. Finally, I got the parents' phone number out of her, and I called them and told them she'd had a son named for her father, which would make that boy the fourth. And there was a stillness, and the mother finally said, "How are they?" I drove them both to the airport in my Camaro, wax perfect, and got them to their gate. And just before the x-ray machine, she turns back, tells me she will make Vernon an extra middle name of his, which was quite the Christmas gift. Her mom still sends me pictures of this ideal baby on the web. I save every attachment. I just did what anybody would have, really. Still, I've taken his best baby picture, and, well, he's my screensaver now. Oh, man. Sorry. Such a fool. And a big old boy like me, too. But, hey, this time of the year, sentimental's legal, right? You've been so nice to talk to. Yeah, but that was last year. And I guess I'd have to say it was, of all Vernon's Christmases, my most personal. Kirsten Precious, can I settle? You kept us real supplied. What? No, not this minute for free. No, Vernon can't accept that. You give too much. Imagine her not letting me pay for any of all our eggnogs and her own family recipe, too. I reckon it's Christmas after all. Ain't people wonderful?
A Fool for Christmas by Alan Gurganis. He's the author of many other works of fiction, including the collection The Practical Heart. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.